Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Oh, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever and all time. Oh, thankful that God woke me up this morning. Thankful that he gave me a new day to read, to teach, and to praise him. God is good, and his mercy is enduring forever and all time. I am grateful, seriously, to be with you this morning. I've been having some issues with my sinuses, which have affected my whole entire face area, where I was having a hard time talking yesterday. So I am grateful to be with you this morning and to be able to move forward. Thank him, God, and my doctor for antibiotics. Hallelujah. So thanking God for all of you as we get ready to move forward in the word. We're not going to delay today. We got a lot of Old Testament to get through. And oh my goodness, all I can say is it is a great word this morning. We're still talking about the children of Israel. We're talking Moses and Aaron. We're talking the plagues. We're talking so much. It's epic, if that's a good word to use. It is epic this morning. It's that kind of epic word. I like that word, epic. It's an epic word this morning. And we're going to go forth. Father God in heaven, we are thankful today for your mighty, wonderful word, Lord God. Let it be a balm to the soul, to the mind, and to the spirit, that you said you would never leave us or forsake us. And you show us in your word that we may go through. We may go through trials. We may go through tribulations. We have gone through slavery. But that you, oh God, will set us free. Free from the slavery of broken dreams. Free from the slavery of unforgiveness. Free from the slavery of being ungrateful. Free from the slavery of not doing what we're supposed to do in life. God, we ask you to please forgive us, to guide us and lead us. And Father God, as I get ready to read your word and teach your word, Lord God, may it, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. And I pray, Father God, that you in servant decreases. Lord God, for you are the potter and I am just the clay. Mold me in the way that you want me to go. Mold me in the way that you want me to speak. Lord, let me speak what you give me and not what I would say in flesh. Remove all flesh, Lord God, and replace it with your Holy Spirit. That I will speak what you want me to speak and teach what you want me to teach. Remove me, Lord, and replace me with you. Fill me up, Father God, with your Holy Spirit, from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, that I will only do as you ask me to do. For Lord, you are my strength and redeemer. As I said, Father, I can't do this without you. I need you now. I need you later. I need you always, Father God. Use me as you mold me to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to be used by God. So many times we want to do our own thing that we forget to open up and ask God to guide us and lead us. For I cannot do this without him. I can't move forward in this word without God. I can't teach this word without God. I need him. I love him, and I trust him in all things, for he is my rock, is my God. And the word that God gave me for this morning is coming from our psalm word. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. You know, it just so fit our scripture for today. The rock, the Lord is my rock. He is our rock. He is our fortress. And he is our deliverer. You know, we make it personal. The Lord is my rock. Got to put your hand on your heart and believe it. He is my fortress and he is my deliverer. I am his child and he is my father. And we know that when we got those good daddies, that all we got to do is when we're going through it and we get a boo-boo, we just go and tell our dad, I got a boo-boo. And dad does not mind, just like your moms don't mind, wiping off the blood from your knee, putting a bandage on it, giving you a kiss on the knee because you're their baby. God is always bandaging us up, wiping away our tears from our boo-boo and giving us a kiss on the forehead to say, it's all right, I got you. We got to have those, it's all right, I got you. Just like my grandson, you know, he has a tendency, he gets to running, and then he might fall, and then he's like, and I'm like, do you have a boo-boo? And he'll say, yes. I said, well, come here and let grandma look at it. And then I look at it, and then I'll you know, put my hand over it, and I'll pray over him. And I'll say, grandma's going to pray healing over it. And then I pray over it, and I said, now is it all better? And he said, yes. And I said, and I kiss him on the forehead. I said, God's got you covered. Because we got to put it in their spirit as little kids that God's got them covered. And when they know that they're covered by the holy angels of God, they go and run some more. You know, I wish I could run like he does, because he's just so energetic that he wears me out looking at him. But I know that he is having a good time, and it's all right. We got to let our kids be kids. So many times we want our children to be grown-ups when they are children. Let them be children. Let them have fun. Let them giggle and laugh and run around if they want to, as long as they're not hurting themselves and they're not tearing up anything. Let them be children. That's what's going on so many times in these classrooms and schools. They want these little soldiers, these little automatons, that all they do is walk and talk and eat. But they don't have fun. You know, you see more kids when you go into the school doped up, can't handle children being children. When you let kids be kids, just imagine. Their imaginations are phenomenal. And they accomplish so many things. Just let children be children. They're going to have enough time and have a whole lot of issues as they get into adulthood. You know, I've seen so many kids these days having to act like adults, having to be almost semi-parents, and it's not fair. It's not fair because we have a Father, and he is our Father God, and that's what we go through, and I tell you, he will lead you in what you need to do so that you can allow your children to be children. As we talked about, Jesus said we must be as little children. We got to be open, open to hear the voice of God. So let's see what Moses is doing, because God is speaking to him and to Aaron and giving them their assignments as what they must do. And it is not easy. You think about going up to the president of the United States and saying, let my people go. You would look down like you're crazy. And that's what Moses had to do. He had to go to just like the president of the United States or to the prime minister of a nation and say, let my people go. And he's going up to Pharaoh and he's talking this. And the Pharaoh's looking at, like, I don't know you. You didn't grow up with me. But we understand that I'm sure Pharaoh knew who Moses was, even though it was 40 years later. He knew who he was, because they wrote everything and painted everything on the walls. So the story was there. And this is what it says in chapter 7 of Exodus. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh. Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you. And Aaron, your brother, shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them. So they did, and Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Wow. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up all their rods, grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river bank to meet him, and the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. You shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you. Say, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the water of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the water that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river was turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river, so there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither was his heart moved by this. So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed before the Lord had struck the river. Chapter 8 of Exodus. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, all your territory with frogs. So we got blood, and now we got frogs coming abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servant, on your people, into your ovens, and into your gnawing bowls, and the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and on all your servants. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, and that they may sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only. So he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain in the river only. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs, which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. They gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had said. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. So we have blood, we've had frogs, now we got lice. Yeah, that's all I can say is, yeah. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out of the water. Then they say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me, or else you will not let my people go. Behold, I will send swarms of flies on you, your servants, on your people, and to your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. And the Lord did so. 6 swarms of flies came into the houses of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. So now let's look at it. We got bloody water. We've had lice. Now we got flies. And let's call it straight. There is nothing nastier than flies. If you get one fly, you have a freak out moment. Can you imagine having a swarm of flies in your house? A swarm of flies outside? A swarm of flies just everywhere? Ugh. I don't like one fly. So you can imagine how it would be with a swarm of flies. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. Then Moses said, indeed, I am giving out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, from the people, Not one remained but Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time, and also neither would he let the people go. We will do our life lessons and questions and examples. We'll do those after we get finished with the word this morning. We'll go back. Exodus chapter 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, go in to Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep of very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent, and indeed not even one of his livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. Okay, so now we've had bloody water. We've had frogs. We've had lice. We've had flies. We've had the death of the livestock, and Pharaoh's heart still hard. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven, and they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to him. Okay, we're going over it again. Bloody water, frogs, lice, flies, dead cattle, now boiled. And anybody who's ever had a hair bump knows it is no fun. And you pray it doesn't turn into a boil, because boils can kill you. I mean, you get a boil, you wind up in the hospital sometimes. And this is what it goes on to say. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, and you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. And yet you exalt yourself against me, against my people, in that you will not let them go. Don't play with God. Behold, tomorrow after this time, I will cause a very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man, every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He was feared. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heavens, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so that so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Come on now. Wouldn't that scare you? You done had bloody water. You done had frogs. You've had lice. You've had flies. You've had death of your animals. You've had boils. Now you got a hailstorm of fire. Come on now. And you still not going to let these... I'll be like, y'all ain't got to go, but y'all got to get out of here. Come on now. Y'all have got to get up here. But then here we go again. And says, Pharaoh sinned and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hand to the Lord. The thunder will cease and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was the head and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spit were not struck, for they are late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Chapter. Now the Lord said to Moses, go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron came in to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail. And they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's servant said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? And Moses said, we shall go with our young and our old, with your son, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks, our herds, and we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. Then he said to them, the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the field of the land, all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the land brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts, and the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be such after them, for they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. I am saying this. You would have thought by then Pharaoh would have been packing the bags of the children of Israel, putting them on his own horses and say, y'all ain't got to go. Come on. Y'all have got to get out of here. We done had bloody water. We done had frogs. We done had lice. We done had, flies, boils. Now we got locusts. Come on now. And I think I might have missed one. But we have all these things. These doggone plagues are hitting everything everywhere. And I'm going to harden my heart. Y'all got to go. Pharaoh should have been the first one putting them on a train going north. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. So now we've had locusts. That's okay, let me go back. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now, therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. 3 days they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks, your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. But Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us, not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And even we do not know what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. For the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For in the day you see my face, you shall die. But Moses said, you have spoken. Well, I will never see your face again. Now understand, that's 9 plagues that we have seen come upon Pharaoh. So we've had the bloody water. We've had the frogs. We've had the lice. We've had the flies. We've had the locusts. We've had the hail. We've had the death of the cattle and all the things. And may not be quite in order right now. Okay, so we've had darkness. We've had locusts. And now we're getting ready to have the big one. So, you know, and putting them back in order. So what do you have? The bloody water. Come on now, the frogs, the lice, the flies, the dead cattle, the boils. Come on, boils. We've had fiery hailstorm. We've had darkness, locusts. 9 plagues, and you still trying to hold on to these folks because you want the slaves. Come on now. When God said, let my people go, you better say, Lord, how fast can I let them go? They out of here. You can have your children. So let's go to chapter 11. I told y'all it was a good word this morning. And it says, and the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Then Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But again, none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, and all the people who follow you, after that I will go out. Then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. But the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Chapter 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. All the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorstops and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on the night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with the bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil at all with water, but roast head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, that what remains of all until morning you shall burn with fire, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So he told them what to have: unleavened bread, fire-roasted goat or lamb with some herbs. And you can't boil it. You got to roast it. Come on now. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on the night, and it shall strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. And on the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this day, I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. For you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, of evening, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings, you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a branch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that it is in the base, that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of this house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said, and also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses and Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot beside children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked 11 cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the Egyptians of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt, It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance of all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is brought for money, when you have circumcised them, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. Thus all the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass on that same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. Wow. What a word. What a word. And before we get finished this morning, our main word for the day comes from Psalms 18, verses 1 through 12. Chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surround me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. Proverbs 6, 1 through 5. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourselves, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself, plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. What a word. What a word. And now, for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we're going to go back and do a few life lessons from this word. And for those just joining us, the life lessons, life examples, life questions all come from Dr. Charles Stanley. The Bible that we are reading this year is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version. And we're just going to hit a life example, a plan of plagues. When God freed the Israelites from slavery, he realized that he would need to convince the Pharaoh to let them go. After all, the Israelites were central to the Egyptian economy. So God showed his power to Pharaoh through the plagues and struck everything the Egyptian nation relied upon. The Nile was seen as a god to the Egyptians because it sustained their civilization. When God turned it into blood, he cut off their lifeline and showed that he was stronger than their main deity. The frogs were thought to represent the deity of fertility, but when they invaded the Egyptians' homes and theirs, those annoying croaking creatures disgusted the people. The lice irritated them to no end. The flies not only disfigured their bodies, but ruined their plants as well. Number 5, disease destroyed their livestock. Number 6, the boils burned their skin. Number 7, hail and locusts decimated the remainder of their animals and finished off their crops. Number 9, the plague of darkness showed that the Egyptian sun deity Ra was completely powerless before the one true God. And finally, number 10, finally, the death of the firstborn in every Egyptian household showed that their hope was completely cut off. There was nothing the Egyptians could turn to help them against the Almighty God of Israel. Everything they knew was ruined. What was the result? Exodus 12 tells us the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. Now the children of Israel asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Not only did the Egyptians ask them to leave, but they also gave the Israelites their possessions. We may not understand what God is doing in a given situation, but we can always trust his plan. He knows exactly what to do to deliver us from our bondage. Life lesson, Exodus chapter 9 and 12. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. To this point in the story, Pharaoh had hardened his own heart, but now God hardens his heart. Willful disobedience can reach points of no return. Exodus 9:16. Indeed, for the purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. God rules with such a mighty hand that he even raises up adversaries in order to demonstrate his glory and might to the world. He works his wonders not only so that unbelievers might see his power and repent and believe, but also so that his own people might remember his glory and so remain loyal to him. We serve one God, a mighty God, who does not play. Don't play with God. Don't play with his word. Don't harden your heart. You got to listen. You got to believe. Exodus 11:3. Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servant, and in the sight of the people. When we do what the Lord requires of us, God takes pleasure in causing even our enemies to show us favor. Exodus 12:11. It is the Lord's Passover. The Passover lamb symbolized the work that Jesus Christ would finish in his death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. This is why the Apostle Paul wrote, Christ, our Passover, was sanctified for us. 1 Corinthians 5:7. And our main word for this morning comes out of Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. We are wise if we fill our minds with many graphic images of who God is for us. Our rock, our fortress, our shield, our stronghold. How do you best like to think of him? What is he to you? I tell you, he is my absolute. He is my everything. I am nothing without God. He is my daddy. And I know that I can go to him any and have a conversation with him. I can go to him any in the middle of the night. And he hears me. I can go to him at all hours, all times, every day, every minute, every hour. And I know that he is my shelter, that he is my strength, that he is my father. And when you got a father like that, you don't need anything else. What can I do when my feelings go from discouraged to helpless? And this is a question. And it says, if you feel hopeless, helpless, or powerless, unable to deal with people or problems on the verge of exhaustion, take heart in the prophet Habakkuk's staring conclusion to his short book. Knowing that a savage army of Babylonians would soon plunder and pillage his homeland, Habakkuk recited a litany of probable destruction. Times would be hard. Food would be scarce. Agrarian culture's source of home, of income, would soon dry up and blow away. That's in Habakkuk chapter 3:17. If you get an opportunity, please read it. And it said, yet despite his disheartening scenario, Habakkuk penned an amazing response. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like a deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. Whew, what a word. Where did the prophet find such hope in the face of such terrible calamity? For one thing, clearly he had been spending time in God's word. His expression of faith closely echoes the words of David, uttered centuries before. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Psalms 18:2-3. For another thing, who had been spending a lot of time alone with God. His whole book is a record of his extended conversations with the Creator about the way the Lord does things. Habakkuk did not always understand nor particularly like what he heard from God, but he recognized that the Lord knows what he's doing, and so he chose to place his trust in him. When the outlook looks grim, Christ is your strength. When the circumstances seem volatile, Christ is your stability. When the future appears foreboding, Christ remains your hope. The strength of Christ is both inexhaustible and immeasurable, and it is yours to receive. God delights in upholding the weary and reviving the faint-hearted. Isaiah 40:29-30. Your reservoir of emotional and physical energy may feel nearly drained, but God's supply of spiritual stamina never runs out. Come to him and his word for the strength to carry on, and he will supply the power you need to traverse the rough terrain ahead. That's his promise, and God always keeps his promises. And that is our word for today. We have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And again, always her words just seem to flow right from the lesson. And the word for yesterday and today. Yesterday's word is, I pray that the love of God saturates your home and his peace lies within you through the day. Amen. And today, good morning. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 16:20. Have a blessed Sunday. And I say to you this morning, family, have a blessed and wonderful day. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And as always, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and continue to put your trust in the Lord. For the Lord is he's my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, as the word says. But we say together, the Lord is our rock. The Lord is our fortress. The Lord is our deliverer. Hallelujah. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our absolute. The Lord is everything, and in him do we trust. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Love you all. Join me tomorrow as we continue moving forward in the word of God. And believe it or not, we will be in a new month and a new chapter in Exodus, a new chapter in Matthew as well. So thank you all again for joining me this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. Be blessed and have a wonderful and blessed day. It is, as we say, a moving forward, a wrap.